This is Northumberland at 5.
Hey, Dan the Newsman, in with you for the next hour or so here on Northumberland at 5. We've got a jam-packed edition, but yet a little sad addition, I would say, to Northumberland at 5. As a somber midweek for Northumberland County, as it was mourning, continued Wednesday for Northumberland OPP Sergeant Brandon Malcolm, as his funeral was held yesterday in Cobourg. Hundreds of law enforcement officers across Ontario paid their respects at a ceremony which included Premier Doug Ford. Malcolm was killed on duty in his motorcycle crash on Highway 401 near Cobourg April 27th. Malcolm's wife, Vashti Prasad, says Brandon was a caring, brave, and loving person.
Today I stand here to honor my husband, the man I loved for 10 years, the man who gave his life to serving others. We met at Scarborough Town Center in the most ordinary way. I don't think either of us knew in that moment how much our lives would change. What started as a simple meeting turned into a love that became my home, my strength, and my greatest blessing. He wasn't just a husband, he was my best friend. He knew how to make me laugh when I didn't want to, how to calm me when life felt overwhelming, and how to remind me about what truly mattered. He loved deeply, fully, and without hesitation, and I felt that every single day. But he also had another calling, one that he believed in with all of his heart. Being a police officer wasn't just a job for him, it's who he was. He believed in protecting people, doing what was right, even when it was hard. He carried that responsibility with pride, with courage, and with a quiet strength that I admired more than I can put into words. Of course, that calling came with sacrifices. There were long nights, missed moments, and the constant worry that comes with loving someone who runs towards danger when everyone runs away. For he showed up for his community, his colleagues, and for us. And while the world sees a hero in uniform, I was lucky enough to know the man behind it. The one who loved, or who laughed at the smallest things, who loved deeply, and who made every day feel extraordinary just being in it. Losing him this way is something I can't fully put into words. It just doesn't feel real. And yet, even in this unbearable pain, I know this. He died doing what he believed in. And that is the kind of man he was. Selfless, brave, and full of love. I carry him with me always, in every memory, every laugh, every quiet moment. He will forever still be my home. He is still my heart. And to you, Brandon, thank you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for choosing me. Thank you for every moment we had together. I will love you for the rest of my life.
On behalf of our family, I want to take a moment to honor the man who became much more than a brother-in-law and a son-in-law. He was a brother, he was a son. He became a part of our family in every way that mattered. From the moment Brandon entered our lives, he brought warmth, kindness, and a steady sense of care. He loved deeply. He showed that love not only in words, but in everyday things that often meant the most. The way he showed up, the way he listened, the way he made people feel welcome and valued. He was a devoted husband, a person whose presence brought comfort. He had a way of making family gatherings brighter, especially with his salmon-colored suit. His laughter, his generosity, his quiet strength will remain with us. He was someone we could rely on, someone who cared sincerely, someone whose love left a lasting mark on all of us. One of the greatest gifts in life is to have people who choose to love your family as their own. Brandon did that. He did not simply join our family, he helped shape it. He was also a public servant. He wore the uniform with pride. He was the kind of man that ran toward, not away. That is who he was at work, and that is who he was at home. The same steady, dependable man in every part of his life. We will miss his voice, his smile, and the many ordinary moments that now feel precious. We will carry gratitude for the time we shared with him, and we will remember him in our stories, in our traditions, and the love that remains. Though we grieve his loss, we also celebrate the person he was, a loving son, devoted husband, a brother, a friend, a public servant, and a cherished part of our family. Before I close, on behalf of our entire family, there is something important we want to say. To the Commissioner, to Chief Thomas, the members of Brandon's detachment, Toronto Police Service, and the community at large, thank you. Thank you for the overwhelming outpouring of love, support, and solidarity during this heartbreaking time. Your compassion, your presence, and your shared grief have lifted us up in ways we will never forget and will forever remain in our hearts. May he rest in peace. We love you, Brandon, and thank you for loving my sister.
Brandon's brother, Jared Malcolm, a fellow police officer, says while Brandon was competitive in nature, he pushed those he cared about to be better people.
It's going to take a lot to get through this one. Of course, it would be Brandon that has me up on stage doing public speaking in front of all these people. But I can feel his big bear hug arms around me right now, helping me while also whispering in my ear, suck it up, stop being soft. In addition to Brandon's arms, I'll ask everyone here today to give me a virtual hug and wrap their arms around me and my family as I get through this. Ladies and gentlemen, family, friends, and colleagues, and all who have gathered here today, we come together not just to mourn the loss of my brother, Brandon Malcolm, but to celebrate the incredible life he lived. A life filled with purpose, dedication, and an unwavering love for others. It is with a heavy heart, although filled with pride, that I reflect on the profound impact he had on all who knew him. Pops, Lisa, Vashti, and to the rest of my family, I will ask that you quickly look around and you see just how loved Brandon was. Today, I'm standing here not just as a police officer, but as a brother. Someone who had the privilege of growing up alongside Brandon, learning from him, with him, and sharing a bond that has always been there, even when life got busy. You see, Brandon was the kind of person you don't forget. Strong-willed, competitive, driven. And if you knew him well, you knew that competitive edge wasn't just about winning. It was about pushing himself and quietly pushing the people he cared about to be better too. Brandon and I were a lot like in that way. Growing up, we challenged each other constantly. Whether it's something small or something that felt big at the time, there was always this unspoken understanding between us that we were on the same team, even when we were competing. You see, Brandon he always had to one-up me. I got my first tattoo on my right shoulder with my pops in Florida. Guess you had to do the same not too long ago. So Brandon got his first on the same spot. Mine was obviously better, though. We did guitar lessons together. We watched movies together. More specifically, we watched our first horror movie together as well. The Blair Witch, I don't recommend. Even though we were terrified, we doubled down and we made another bad decision. We watched another horror movie. It's called The Ring. I can honestly say that was the worst decision that we've ever made. Because my pops thought it was a good idea to call us shortly after and say, 7 days. If you watch that movie, you could probably imagine the fear and terror that me and Brandon were engulfed with. Our relationship was a special bond down to when he moved to Florida. He tried to get me to move down there to attend the same school with him. That didn't change as we got older. It just looked different. Life got busy, careers, responsibilities, everything that comes with being adults, but that connection between us never really went away. We still checked in. We looked out for each other in our own way. He actually became a thorn in my side trying to recruit me to the OPP. I'm talking every single time we spoke, it was, come to the OPP, come to the OPP. Fun fact, he actually had he was at the OPC intake right before mine. As you can see, he tried to one-up me in everything that we do. There was always that mutual respect, not just as brothers, but as men who chose a path of service. He was such a great brother to his three older siblings who admired him, down to all his younger siblings who he kept engaging on the right path. He looked out because he cared deeply for his family. I remember this one joke he used to tell you guys when you would complain about something. He'd say, hey, you want some Triactin? They'd get all excited about it and say, yeah, we want some Triactin. He'd say, try acting like a man. But Brandon was so much more than just my brother. He was a fiance, someone who loved deeply and was building a life with this person, Vashti. A future that was filled with plans, hopes, and everything that comes with choosing someone to stand beside you through it all. V, he loved you so dearly. He was a son, and the kind of son who made his family proud, not just in the big moments, but in everyday ways that matter most. He would travel down 2 to 3 times to New Brunswick to see the family. Though you're miles apart, he would make that effort in his crazy, crazy life and schedule. I remember my pops couldn't fly down to Florida to see his headstone to his late mother, my grandmother. He actually thought at one point he wouldn't be able to just because of how life gets ahead of you sometimes, but Brandon took it upon himself to fly to Florida, dust and clean off the headstone before taking a photo beside it with some beautiful flowers for you, Pops. That's a true testament to the kind of man he was, Mr. Above and Beyond. And he was a friend to so many, the kind of friend who showed up, who had your back, who you could count on without question, the kind of person you felt safe with. He wore the uniform of the Ontario Provincial Police with pride, and anyone who knew him knows that that wasn't just a job to him, it was who he was. He showed up, he did the work, he carried the responsibility, and he did it with the same determination and grit that defined him in every part of his life. Brandon was not only a devoted police officer, but he was also a beacon of hope in the community. He believed deeply in justice, fairness, and the opportunity for everyone to feel secure and valued. His choice to serve in the police force was not merely a career decision, it was a calling. He took pride in wearing that uniform and dedicated himself wholeheartedly to protecting those around him with courage in his heart and a fierce commitment to doing what was right. It's hard to put into words what it means to lose someone like him, especially the way we did. There's a weight to it, a kind of silence that doesn't feel right, because he was never someone who lived quietly. He made an impact on his family, his colleagues, and everyone lucky enough to know him. But if there's one thing I keep coming back to, it's this. He lived with purpose, he showed up for people, and he never backed down from who he was. As a police officer, I understand the risk that comes with this job, but standing here today, that understanding doesn't make this loss any easier. It just makes me even more aware of the kind of person he had to be to do what he did every single day. As his brother, I'm proud of him. I'm proud of the man he became, proud of the life he built, proud of the way he carried himself, both in and out of uniform. I wish we had more time. I think we all did. But I'm grateful for the time we had, for the memories, the competitions, the check-ins, and that bond that never really left, no matter how busy life got. He'll always be a part of me, part of how I show up, part of how I carry myself moving forward. I think in a lot of ways, that's how we keep him with us. We don't just remember him, we live in a way that reflects the best part of who he was. Early this week, his fiance, V, said something to me that really resonated with me for the rest of my life. She said to me, you gained a guardian angel. Such simple words, but I've never felt the truth of something so deeply. the more I've sat with it, the more I've come to realize that it wasn't just me. You did too, V. In some ways, I think we all did. As we say goodbye today, let us not dwell solely on the sorrow of our loss, but also celebrate the life that he lived. A life dedicated to helping others, filled with laughter, love, and unwavering strength. My brother may no longer be with us in body, but his spirit will live on in each of us, in the way we love, in the way we serve, and in the way we choose to remember him. Brandon is once again teaching us lessons, even in spirit, to love the people you love while they're here. Pick up the phone, call that friend, brother, sister, mother, father, whoever it may be, tell them you love them. You will always be in our hearts, Brandon, and your legacy will shine brightly. Thank you for the life you lived, the love you shared, and the countless ways you have inspired us all. Rest easy, brother. We've got your watch from here.
Northumberland 89.7 is all about local, and that includes showcasing the many great musical acts in Northumberland County. Each day we feature some of the best music this area produces, but we know there are more artists out there, so if you're a local musician, we'd love to hear from you. If you have an MP3, send it along to info@northumberland897.ca. Not only do we play your music, but you'll have a chance to come in and have our listeners get to know you better. We are the station featuring truly local talent, Northumberland 89.7.
Hey Northumberland, it's Nicola Magnolia, and on June 11th, Victoria Hall in Coburg, I'm bringing my album to life. Live for the very first time, and this night won't happen twice. It's more than a show, it's the event of the summer. With special guests joining me, still to be announced, we're already half sold out. And with limited seating, once it's gone, it's gone. Doors open at 7:30, the show's at 8. Buy 5 or more tickets and you could win a $2,000 prize package. Be in the room and get your tickets now through the Victoria Hall website. See you on June 11th. Your trouble.
Oh my gosh, we have so much junk in the garage. I'm gonna have to give that guy Ed a call.
Yeah, and make sure he takes all that junk at the side of the house too.
Call Ed's Junk Removal, what do you say?
Call him up now, he'll take it away.
Call Ed's Junk Removal,
when you're in doubt.
Let Ed's Junk Removal clear it all out.
Call 905-924-JUNK, edsjunk.co.
Most businesses don't ignore cybersecurity because they don't care. They ignore it because no one explains the real business impact. Too often, security conversations are filled with technical jargon or vague warnings that don't justify a real budget. So it gets pushed aside until something breaks. At Attitude IT, we do things differently. We translate cybersecurity into a plain business language, helping leaders understand the financial impact of downtime, data loss, and operational disruption. And just as importantly, when you need support, you can reach our team quickly and we will be at your worksite right away. Our team is here to support you, guide you, and protect your business every step of the way. If you want cybersecurity and service you can rely on, visit attitudeit.ca or call 905-432-7751.
Northumberland 89.7 doesn't take weekends off. Take us along and enjoy a vast array of unique shows you won't hear anywhere else. See our complete program list at northumberland897.ca.
Hey, so welcome back. Joined in studio live by Cecilia Naismith, a fellow reporter. It's been a hot minute. Cecilia, how you been?
I'm pretty busy.
It has been busy. There's been a little bit of county stuff going on.
Yes, there has.
Okay, we're going to touch on the Golden Plow, because that new facility was anticipated to already be open with residents moved in. However, it is empty. Why is it still empty?
Ministry approvals have to be received. They've had a virtual tour and a five-day in-person tour. They're not giving clearance yet. Things are being addressed, mind you, as they arise, as they are reported. But clearance is still in the offing. They're hoping soon.
Now, from what I understand, there's some small stuff, hand dryers, minor construction that may need to be done. It seems that the ministry is saying it's easier to get it done now before you move residents in because it could be a little bit more difficult. Why is that?
Because when construction is going on, extra steps have to be taken for resident safety. They're very vigilant about resident safety, and to carry out a construction process with limits in place. Let's face it, limitations. Dan Borowick, the CAO, estimates that a project costs basically twice.
Now, from what I understand from your excellent reporting earlier this week, that essentially the county's operating two long-term care homes.
That's right. While the old ones open, it's the complete budget to keep it going. While the new ones open but untenanted, it still has to be have security patrols, heating, air conditioning, environmental care, that kind of thing. It's not the same budget, but it's a budget.
Now, the sense I'm getting is there's no definitive timeline on when the new Golden Plow will open, when residents will start to be moved in. That's got to be concerning for the county.
It is, because the families care. They've been waiting on Tenderhook. And here's another thing. In preparation for the new plow, they've hired new people.
So you're paying those wages.
Yeah.
Because you can't, you have to, you got to keep them around.
Exactly.
What's next?
What's next is they're hoping what will be final negotiations take place. They're really hoping on this. It's mid-May. I've heard January is the move-in date. I've heard May is the move-in date. They're hoping third time's the charm, I guess.
Third time's the charm. It's kind of, I'm getting the sense, and maybe it's just a bit of speculating, but maybe there's a bit of nitpicking by the province. Maybe there's a bit of underplanning by the county on terms of the level of inspection needed and that process to getting open. What's your sense on those two topics?
They did ask the CAO, Dan Borowick, if similar projects in other municipalities have these kinds of barriers. He says he has reached out and he finds that is the case.
Oh, so this is just how the ministry's operating.
It's not like Golden Plow Lodge or in my target sites.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but that's, I mean, we got to get this place going. That's just the end of it.
It's there. It's presumably ready or close to. Get moving.
So, I mean, how many, this is going to be over budget already, a couple million dollars?
There's about a $3 million deficit. The budget was planned on the premise that the move would have taken place around the end of the year. And the Golden Plow Lodge budget, therefore, is running at this point at a $3 million deficit.
Okay, well, hopefully they can get that sorted out soon enough. Also, the county is looking at getting three new ambulances at a cost of around $875,000.
That sounds about right, if I recollect
correctly. In the ballpark.
Yeah.
But they needed to get a deposit in because these ambulances take a while to build.
They do. You place your order, you put your deposit down. You order today. They anticipate delivery September or October 2027.
Holy. So I guess you really have to start planning. You know the end of life of the one ambulance, you've got to say, well, it's going to be gone in a year. We got to make sure. I probably have to say 24 months then out.
I think that would not
be imprudent. A buffer, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So now you're saying you got a program for or budget for ambulances 2 years out.
And you're budgeting for that.
Yeah, and you're budgeting for that, but also the maintenance on the current ambulance.
That goes on.
I mean, they're spending, what, $110,000 a month?
Exactly.
On ambulance maintenance.
And that's not negotiable.
No.
May even get worse, right?
Well, I think it will. I mean, the fuel costs are going up, but I have to understand that and the way those fleet contracts work is it's a deadline of a kilometer or a date, and that parts, regardless of their worn, have to be replaced. It doesn't matter.
Wow.
I mean, if you're a mechanic and you have this fleet contract, you're rolling in the gravy.
Good point.
Because you have well-maintained vehicles, and they have to do it.
It's
There's
crazy.
No ways around it. Same with police and fires.
Yeah.
Right? So
you're counting on peak performance every time you turn the engine on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then Susan Brown requested, what did she request at the county meeting?
Pre-approval for that budget amount, which would enable her to place the order now.
And what was the response there?
The response, now this was a committee of county council. The response was to recommend it to county council. County council's vote, if in favor, will make it official.
Okay, and then obviously we'll wait to see what happens at that meeting, but that'll be approved. I mean, you can't not have ambulances in the queue.
Exactly.
When you need them. So that's more of a formality.
It's just a formality.
She's just letting them know ahead of time. We're not springing this on you. You got a couple of days to digest it, but you're going to stamp it. This weekend, Sunday, Mother's Day. Now, you're a mother, a meemaw. You have been through it. What's going on for you this weekend?
My grandchildren will be honoring their mother.
Sweet.
I expect phone calls, texts, or something from each of my children. I have three. And as a bonus, I have a pseudo-daughter. in Timmins, precious, precious girl, sends me flowers.
Oh, that's wonderful.
She is a sweetheart.
That's wonderful. Well, this weekend, my wife asked that we all help weed the front garden. And her mom is coming up from Coburg, because we live in Peterborough. She's going to help weed the garden to get it ready for the spring planting season. But it's been tough getting out in the garden because it's been cold and wet. It hasn't been motivating to, you know, bask in the sunshine to go and plant or weed or whatnot. But, praise your moms out there if you have them. And, I don't know. The flowers thing seems a little strange to me. I always took like Mother's Day as for my wife, and what we do is you get the day off.
I like that.
So that means you don't have to cook.
Yeah.
And you get a meal. You get a special meal planned.
Yeah.
You say, I want this for dinner.
Yeah.
I'll cook it. I'll clean up. I'll even do all the housework. You can sleep and do whatever you want on that day. It's your day
that
to do whatever.
Is an awesome Mother's Day.
And I thought that's better than getting flowers because flowers die and you got to throw them away.
Yeah, but my studio daughter is in Timmins.
No, I get that. I get if you're far away, but if you're in town.
No excuses.
Yeah, no excuses. All right. Well, Cecilia, it's great to be back on the air with you and looking forward to next week.
Okay.
June 12th, 13th, and 14th. Mark it down. The Northumberland 89.7 FM Radiothon is back. Live on air with more music, more guests, and more to bid on. 3 days you won't want to miss.
Hi, I'm Sarah Jacob of SMM Law Professional Corporation. We can assist you with wills, powers of attorney, real estate, business transactions, construction liens, small claim court matters. If we can't help you with something, we will find you someone who can. Call SMM Law at 905-372-3395 or email hello@smmlaw.com. SMM Law, we are here for you.
Can you be reached in an emergency? The town of Coburg uses the public notification system Alertable to advise residents of significant events or service disruptions. Alertable allows the town of Coburg to send direct messages to residents and visitors via their preferred means of communication. The tool is accessible via a free app that can be downloaded onto a mobile phone, tablet, or smart speaker, such as Amazon Alexa or Google Nest. Residents can also sign up to receive notifications via email or text message. Residents are encouraged to download the free Alertable app for iOS or visit coburg.ca/fire for additional information. Help ensure you have the necessary information to keep you and your family safe during an emergency. Download Alertable today.
And now, Northumberland Humane Society Pet of the Week, brought to you by Northumberland 89.7 FM. Meet Holden, a smart, energetic dog ready for adventure. He loves long walks, hikes, and staying active, and he'll thrive with a family who can keep both his body and mind engaged. Holden is eager to learn and just needs some continued training and socialization to reach his full potential. Visit Northumberland897.ca or call 905-885-4131 to learn more about Holden today, because every pet deserves a loving home.
Northumberland 89.7 brings you local news and information on the air and on your smart device. Check the news section of our website for in-depth local stories and visit our social media pages. It's all at Northumberland897.ca.
I watch you in the candlelight. Your clothes are on the floor. The glow of your body. Away from this party, I wanna lose control. You're the worst kind of addiction. You drag me back for more. Bloodshot eyes, my mouth is dry. I wanna use your soul.
smells of fire. You're burning down my spine. Your lips along my neck. Tie the noose and take my breath. Wanna die in your arms tonight. Now.
Couldn't buy it. And I don't think we had it. As I watched my dad picking dandelions to make dandelion wine. He stored the bottles in the basement, all dark and damp and dusty. Hid them in the cracks where the stones they used to be. Don't recall ever tasting it, but I think that my brother did. I know that summer, not a weed grew on our lawn. We made do with what we had. Why the long wings no one was ever sailed. Try to catch a buzz, he used to get the empty whiskey barrels, fill them full of water. Summer long, he had us rolling barrels in the backyard. And I danced up on the top like a bandit on the run. Planted something there we knew we didn't plant. So we hung it in the barn to dry. And then that one hot summer night, him and Grandpa stayed out in the barn there for a long, long time.
Away from the top of the hour here on Northumberland at 5. Dan Jones in with you until 6 o'clock. Cheryl Castleman there, Dandelion Wine before that. Kale Crow Closer. Well, the chairperson of the Harwood Hall Memorial Park is leaving the executive to seek public office. Jay Chatton will contest for Hamilton Township Council in the October municipal election. He says one of his most memorable achievements with the Harwood Hall is honoring the 100th anniversary of the organization.
Well, I think one of the legacy items, I hope there's several, but one of the legacy items I'm proud of is the celebration of our 100th anniversary in the way that the property was provided to the community. And we wanted to remember the fallen from World War One. And I think the team that we had to do that on the anniversary and celebration of the anniversary was just outstanding, and it brought a lot of pride to the 400 people that attended our event. So, but that was one of the things, for sure.
Now, last time we talked, Harwood Hall was getting a renovation done, the new wheelchair accessibility. You were talking about bathrooms. There's a lot of work being done to modernize that hall. And now we're seeing that there's daycare in there. Now there's more of a food bank situation. It's turned into a bigger community hub.
Yeah, I mean, if you look back at the vision 100 years ago, this is what we're just continuing with that. Maybe, you know, with a little throttle up a bit, but yeah, we were successful in achieving an Ontario Trillium grant for $35,000 to complete the accessibility and power doors into the hall. We have just recently applied for a second OTF grant to complete the bathrooms, a much larger grant, close to $200,000. But I feel very good that you know, we're in a good position to receive that this year, and very positive for the hall to receive that.
So then why are you deciding to take a step back at this time?
Well, I think the first thing is the election date. I mean, that was this date's been a goal for me since the last election. I came close to running then, but I wasn't retired then, and I wanted to make sure that I had the time available to do the job. I felt working and doing a counseling job, if I was successful in my bid, it would just wouldn't have been fair. I wouldn't have been able to put 100%. Now I can put 110% in, and with the hall in the background now, it's really not in the background, though, because I really feel that a lot of the community efforts and, you know, the basis of what the hall was, I'm going to transition that into the whole municipality now, and I'm looking forward to doing that.
So just to clarify for the listeners, you're putting your hat in the ring for councillor of Hamilton Township.
Yes, I have put my hat in the ring.
Okay, so what's your motivation then for running for Hamilton Township councillor?
Well, I've spent the last year or so attending all the councillor meetings, committee of adjustments, committee of the wholes, and just to sort of get a feel of where everything is. For one reason, just to understand. The other reason is if I am elected, I will have, you know, hit the ground running with a lot of the public issues. Of course, I couldn't be a part of closed door issues, but I think it's just like the hall. I have a vision of where I'd like to see this township, and I feel that it's been a stagnant history of development, and I don't think that'll be a debate from anybody in the township. For us to move forward and ensure that we've got revenues in place to offset the increasing costs is an important, vital criteria for us. And to stabilize those tax increases that we've seen, you know, 5%+ for the last several years and projected to be that for the next 3 years, We need revenues, and we need to take a look at what we can do to offset those. The costs are going up. We know that. Just need something to offset in the revenue line.
All right, so let's dive into a bit of that then. What ideas do you have to increase revenues, maybe decrease expenditures, growth? How do you look at that?
Well, in my engineering career, I mean, it was all about, in my manufacturing career, it was always about a balance of what do we really need to spend and what we really don't need to spend. What will affect the taxpayer? Because there's items that of capital that don't affect the taxpayer, but operational stuff does. Roads is a big one every year. So we always have to fine-tune and take a balance to that. I think the strategy of infrastructure and growth for the community to grow and to get revenue, the only revenue stream there is in municipalities is truly taxes. And to get more homes and to get more people into the community, not to overpopulate, but just to continue the growth that's there. The biggest roadblock in the township right now is the water system. It is impeding the growth, certainly in Baltimore. And there's opportunities for land elsewhere to grow as well in the future.
Have you hit the trail and talked, gone door knocking yet? What are people telling you?
Yeah, we're just getting started with that. And I've got a webpage out, jaychatten.com, jaychatten.com, where it lays out, for people to learn about me, just not what I'm thinking about for the municipality and how we can do those revenue increases and infrastructure developments, but also just who I am. I think everybody that's ever come to the hall or sat on a board with me at the Parks and Recs Committee, they know who I am and they know what I'm about. And I think that moving forward is a big first step. The signs, the interviews like this and all the other will come in time. But we've hit the ground running. We've had a really great response to our webpage over the first weekend. And I'm happy with that.
On the other side of the break, community announcements. Stick around.
Hey, Northumberland County. Doug and Ken here. And as requested, the Doug and Ken Show has been extended from 6 to 9 p.m.
And remember to catch Doug live and local at 6 p.m.
And Kenny taking over at the halfway mark with his all-access radio show.
Every Thursday, right, Doug?
You got it, Ken.
Right here on Northumberland 89.7.
Truly local radio.
With the way the world has changed the landscape of retail, isn't it nice to know there is a place downtown Port Hope to shop? That no matter what your lifestyle, there is something for you. All Things Beautiful is a ladies' fashion boutique featuring diverse lines including Bryn Walker, Frank Lyman, Gretzias, Spanner, Piccadilly, and more. Come experience our vibe at 87 Walton Street, up the hill in downtown Port Hope. Follow me on Instagram at All Things Beautiful, Inc.
Nuclear energy has safely and reliably powered Ontario's homes and economy for decades. Join a public information session on the potential for new nuclear at the Wesleyville site in Port Hope. Meet OPG staff, get answers to your questions, and learn about the potential community and economic benefits. Register today for a virtual or in-person session at opg.com/Wesleyville.
Here's what's happening in Northumberland.
Hi, this is Andrea with What's Happening. Friday night cruise in Coburg. Friends old and new hanging and having fun with cool classic cars. Friday evening starting May 8th at 6 p.m. at 727 William Street. The Port Hope Garden Club plant sale takes place Saturday morning, May 9th at 8:30 at the Town Park Recreation Center in Port Hope. Come early. The Stolen Hope of Richley Manor, an original play presented by the youth of C2C Drama Club, Friday, May 8th at 7 p.m. and Saturday, May 9th at 2 p.m. at the Grace Church 2 Centennial Drive in Port Hope. Mother's Day Market at Farley Mowat Park with local vendors, artisans, food, music, and more, Saturday, May 9th, 10 a.m. and it's at 44 Mill Street South in Port Hope. La Jeunesse Youth Orchestra present Passion and Dance, the music of Spain, Saturday, May 9th at 2 p.m. at the Port Hope United Church. The Northumberland Orchestra presents Romantic Currents, Saturday, May 9th, 3 p.m. at the Trinity United Church in Coburg. The Breezeway Independent Country Music Award Show is Saturday, May 9th at 7 p.m. at the Coburg Lions Center. There's Mother's Day breakfast held at both the Grafton Legion and the Colborne Legion on Sunday, May 10th, and it starts at 9 a.m. Hope Goat is having a Mother's Day event Sunday, May 10th from 11 to 3, and that's located north of Port Hope. Song's Spring Spotlight Concert, brought to you by the students of Coburg Collegiate Institute, and it's held in their auditorium Sunday, May 10th at 3 p.m.
If you have an upcoming event you'd like us to share, email info@northumberland897.ca.
I'll jump into a volcano, if that's where you wanna go. I'll run into a tornado, or if you wanna take it slow, I'll scale the Rock of Gibraltar. Now go anywhere, and I'll go anywhere, and I'll go anywhere with you, with you. I'll jump off a skyscraper if you told me to. I'd sail a boat made of paper. I'd sink down with you. And then in time, you'll see. I'll wait for you. But wait a minute, you'll see. I'm right here for you. And I'll go away. Day I write a love song. Never knew why I was waiting for you so long. Everything and every day I soon found I loved you. I need you as much as I breathe to. I dream about, wish about, everything I read about. Running out of breath, a fairy tale, wishing well. Now I'm on an airplane, jumping out the fast train. And in time you'll see, I'll go anywhere with you. And I'll spend all my time with you. I'll go anywhere with you the rest of time. And I'll go anywhere.
Bar there anywhere with you on Northumberland at 5. Well, folks, that's going to do it for me today. On the other side of the news, Doug and Ken. First Doug and then Ken, so stay tuned for that. That's a great show coming up. I know they got some extended stuff. Thank you for joining me today. Have yourselves a great weekend and take care.
Up in her eyes. She's got to be somebody's baby. She must be somebody's baby. All the guys on the corner stand back and let her walk on by. She's got to be somebody's baby. She must be somebody's baby. She's got to be somebody's baby. She's so. She's probably somebody's only light. Gonna shine tonight. Yeah, she's probably somebody's baby, alright. I heard her talking with her friend when she thought nobody else was around. She's got to be somebody's baby. She must be somebody's baby. When the cars and the signs and the streetlights light up the town, she's got to be somebody's baby. She must be somebody's baby. She's got to be somebody's baby. She's so. She's probably somebody's only light. Gonna shine.